Let's meet Kim Hanton. He's Barker's candidate for the Australian Federation Party. The South Aussie spent almost two decades of his career in the police force. He's also worked for the Royal Australian Air Force, and these days he's a postie. With concerns about the economy, unemployment, mental health and water rights, he's hoping to have some sway in Parliament, and he joins me now. Hi, Kim.
How you going?
Good, thank you. What motivated you to run this year?
Put simply, over the last couple of years, I haven't liked what's been happening in Parliament for quite some time, but I just stuck my head under a rock, basically, and continued on my merry way. But over the last couple of years, I haven't liked lockdowns, and it seems that the government are imposing themselves on people's day-to-day lives, which is, I think, something that is overreaching on behalf of the government themselves, and I'm not happy with it, and instead of just complaining and whinging about it, I thought I'd put my hat in the ring and step up to the plate, so to speak.
And that's actually quite an interesting perspective from someone who has worked, as a police officer for so many years. Obviously, you understand the need for a society to be governed, but you think that the Emergency Management Act went too far.
I think the Emergency Management Act went over the top in so many ways, especially for a virus that has 99.7% survival rate. We've had people pass away from it, and that's quite sad. But they could have passed away from things like influenza, and from my understanding of what the virus is that it is like influenza, and everybody that I've known that has had it, including my daughter, has literally had a cold, and then first couple of days is pretty bad, but apart from that, the recovery is no different to having a flu.
Well, that's not necessarily what the research shows us. Long COVID is a very significant problem that's causing a lot of people a lot of pain, and
potentially, and I think that depends on the individual. I mean, I don't know the science about it, but I do have an understanding that if scientists weren't tampering with something they shouldn't have been, we wouldn't have this problem overall. But again, I don't think that the management and how it was managed was appropriate, nor do I think that the mandates and the expectation that everyone's going to get a jab that's still considered experimental concerning, because we don't know what the long-term effects of these injections are.
I understand that you have some pretty significant concerns about mental health in the community. Can you tell us about your thoughts on this?
Well, you look at the amount of people that were locked down and the impact that it's had on people. People have sadly taken their lives. Some of that can be attributed to what has occurred. The mental health system as a whole is not up to standard. The care needed for some of these people is not given. Right across the board with medical as a whole, especially rural, our hospitals aren't equipped sufficiently, and that's a staffing issue as well. It needs a lot of help, and it needs to have experts actually sit down and work it out, get it structured and start repairing it, getting people trained up, getting doctors back on the floor as well. It's a mess. Our health system as a whole needs to be refurbished. I suppose that would be the appropriate word.
Kim Hanton's with us. He's the Australian Federation Party candidate for Barker. Having worked in the Air Force, do you have any thoughts you'd like to share on defence strategies or spending? Anything you'd like to reform in the area?
As far as defence goes, one thing that we need to consider is purchasing equipment and not receiving it for a period of time. If we're going to receive defence or do defence contracts, we should encourage it being done by Australian manufacturers, put together by Australian construction and design. We've got everything in place. We've got the STO and we got the ability to build naval vessels as well. We should be really focusing on getting new ships out there, getting those ships crewed, and I'm not even going to start on the idea of ScoMo sending over a bunch of our equipment over into a war zone for a war that we're not even involved in.
Don't we depend on other allies and other countries to support us in when we have some kind of conflict, or, you know, our very way of life is potentially impacted by another country?
We do, but what is the benefit of Australia sending over equipment that our troops should be having access to and our troops should be utilising? We don't need to go over into a country, in my opinion, that we have no international interest in. I mean, it's sad what's happening over there, but I think there's a lot more to what's going on there than we are aware of.
Something that is more close to home is water management, and the River Murray is a big one. We often, South Australians, feel like we kind of miss out when it comes to a proper management of the Murray. What are your thoughts on the way the river is being managed?
Most of the farmers that I've spoken to in relation to the water, it's like they're purchasing water as a commodity. We've got cotton farmers, obviously, up in the eastern states, and cotton is a very greedy plant. But I think that the water should be coming back to the land. Water should be coming back to the land. It shouldn't be purchased as a commodity. Our farmers should have access to water. They need it to function when they're producing. And we definitely need to look at what's happening in the eastern states, and it's up to the federal government to ensure that every state has a fair share of something that belongs to the peoples and obviously the land around it.
And the cost of living, that's another massive one, and I understand it's quite a big concern for you, particularly the cost of food.
The cost of food going up, you've got fuel going up, you've got everything going up, and the way of dealing with that is trying to ensure that we have supply. There's nothing worse than going to the shops and going to your local Woolies, even in suburbia, and there's no bloody meat on the shelves. We really need to have a long, hard look, and upping people's wages is not the answer. We need to look at our supplies and ensure that we've got a decent enough supply chain in place. And that should bring down the cost, because there's going to be more supply. Therefore, if the demand isn't going to be as high, in theory, it should come down to a more reasonable price. But with the cost of living going up, obviously you've got houses. The housing cost is going up as well, so less people are moving. Going to be looking at moving houses, or people are going to be trying to sell houses because the price is up, but you're going to have less people trying to buy them. So we need to look at fixing up the economy and ensuring that we've got a stable and not fluctuating economy. And that's going to take a little bit of time, I think, to rectify, but with some getting people involved that understand the economy and understand how to fix it. That's what it's all about. It's all about working together and sorting out these problems and ensuring that we set something in motion that is actually going to work.
And Kim, any final thoughts, any other things that you'd like to see change in when it comes to the way we govern ourselves?
Well, one of the driving forces behind me actually trying to get into politics is that I think politicians should be there and accountable to the people. They should also be there communicating with the people and interacting with them. In the time that I've been out to some of these small towns like Monash, Swan Reach, and a number of others, most of the people that I've spoken to have not seen anybody other than myself. I'm sure they have now recently, because we're all campaigning out there. But the elected member of whatever region should be getting out and getting involved in the community, not staging what they're doing, but going out and speaking to them, having a hands-on approach, so that then they know what the community wants and they can then try and make those things happen. And I think that's something politicians have forgotten, that we work for the people that have elected us.
I really appreciate your time today, Kim. Thanks for joining me.
No worries. Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.